Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Welcome once again to Elevated Places Network. I am your host, Sister Ava Muhammad on Ask Minister Ava, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. We welcome all of you, and this is the last day of March already, 2022. And when we air this program again, Allah willing, next Thursday, we will have already embarked upon Ramadan. And so tonight we want to discuss this beautiful and holy, blessed month of the year. And this will be our Ramadan 2022, which Muslims all over the world look forward to. This is a blessed month of prayer, fasting, progress, nearness to the God we worship and serve. And so we are blessed that we are here. And tonight we are going to be joined later on in the program by one of our popular guests on this program, Nation of Islam researcher and member of the NOI Research Group. He's an author. He's a student minister. And I'm talking about none other than student minister Brother Demetric Muhammad out of Memphis, Tennessee. And he has a new book, Perfect on Time, Ramadan 2022, Quranic Reading Journal and Historical Digest. So we're blessed that he has taken time to be with us tonight, and we look forward to having him. Of course, our new final call is addressing the war and rumors of war as one world unravels and falls and another one rises. And during the course of the program, I'm going to make some references also to our section on depopulation and COVID-19, the virus and the vaccine. And we will talk about where we are in real time and in line with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to invite you April the 26th to a new masterclass, which I have entitled The Third Force. Release Your Power, Now or Never. And this is a class for men and women alike. There's more to come on the details about that master class. And in the meantime, please visit me at ministerava.com and register for the class. With that, I'm going to now turn the mic over to my co-host to take us further into our program tonight. And I don't want to forget that we are joined, and of course this well-oiled machine called Elevated Places is made possible by Sister Rona Muhammad's skills at organizing, and we are blessed to be joined by Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. I was blessed to be able to tune into A Time for Justice this past Tuesday. It was absolutely phenomenal, and I hope we can recap that as well as hear from her on her legal contribution. For now, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam. So we're back, and we're excited
to be back.
And, man, it is the last day of March, Women's History Month, and the last day to contribute to the 2022 Savior's Day gift for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So, you know, we are so excited about that. And Dr. Ava, let me get to my notes first because I forgot about our student, our Mid-Atlanta Regional Savior's Day Drive on Sunday. It was, man, I love my nation. The Mid-Atlanta, we just had this just powerful field day. And I made a donation for Savior's Day while we were on our webathon, on our Zoom, and everybody just donating and supporting the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Dr. Ava. And then while we was on Zoom, a brother direct messaged me, a brother named Jermaine out of Danville, Virginia. He said, "Brother, I want to give, what's your cash out? I want to give you some money to your Savior's Day gift." And I was like, "What?" And he cashed out me $100. And I was like, "Oh, my God." And I said, "I matched that." We just kept giving. And another brother later, after I gave this big testimony, that I ain't going to get his testimony on this show right now because it'll take too much time and I'll break down, bust in some tears. And then I made that gift and I told him what my total was. And somebody said, "Let me take you up all the way to, let's tip that off to another, you know, take it to the next style. Let's tip that off." And another brother named Brother Ralph out of Charlotte, North Carolina, dropped another $250 on my Savior's Day gift, and then took me over to this top, and they were just a beautiful spirit. And then brothers and sisters were just supporting other brothers and sisters throughout the telethon, and our city, Greensboro, Mosque number 92, made our gold, Savior's Day gold. And it was just a beautiful thing to see that we are all in the spirit of giving to a man who has given us all life. And
everything.
We was in so much joy that we was given, and it makes me think about something Dr. Ava, me and Dr. Ridgely was talking, and he said, "You know what? We the only army that pay to go secure." Like, when we find out the minister somewhere, we are like buying plane tickets, gassing up the car, getting rentals, getting hotels to go, and we don't care that we're paying to go to be there, and we're like, "Yo, please let me be in attendance to secure the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan," because we are not doing it for a check. We are doing it out of the immense love for the immense and tremendous, enormous amount of love that he has poured into us. So I just started off and didn't even mean to start off like that, but I'm excited about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. If you don't understand why, and if you don't understand who that is, go back to February 27th, 2022 at Mas Mariam in his lecture, The Swan Song, and you will get a glimpse of who this man is, who is a servant of God. You will understand some of the aspects of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Go to NOI.org and pull up The Swan Song and learn about his struggle, learn about his scholarship, learn about his sacrifice, learn about his love for our people. And Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave so much, gave a capsule of what we should do and what we need to be doing, but we also got a glimpse into the heart of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the Swan Song. Please make sure you're seeing that, and as you heard, go to MinisterAva.com, learn more about the master's class. You don't want to miss it. Brothers, it's open to us now. So it's brothers and sisters. So the master class, don't get it twisted, it's brothers and sisters. Go to MinisterAva.com and go ahead and make that way to that. And, of course, come back and join us tomorrow night, study.noy.org, study.noy.org. Check us out so you can come study with us and hear some more good teaching Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org. And we're just so happy, and we'll be back on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. NOI.org. But I want to run through real quickly, Dr. Ava, some things that was happening in the nation. Shout out to our brother Nuri and Sister Terry. They was in Baltimore this past weekend, and the Believers under the guidance of Student Minister Carlos Muhammad Mosque number 6. They had so many things. His lecture on Sunday, FOI class, a Friday night dinner, and it was just a beautiful weekend. And so many first-timers that accepted, and it was just a beautiful spirit in Baltimore. Our student regional, Brother Aaron, was there. Brother Jamil was there. And just the support of the love and seeing our brother Noor and his wife traveling and teaching, you know, as they are still going through what they have, the loss of their daughter. But it was just a beautiful thing to see our brother. Also today, sadly, we remember the life of our brother Nipsey Hussle. 3 years ago, his life was taken from us, and it's still affecting because we know what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did when he heard and how it affected him and him going out to the West Coast to the funeral and speaking on behalf of our brother Nipsey Hussle. Also, I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to talk about the Oscars, Dr. Ava, but not about what they think we're going to talk about. I'm just going to mention, and I'll let you deal with the other part if you want, but I want to mention that our brother Questlove of the legendary group The Roots got an Oscar for Summer of Soul, that history of that great event and that great festival in Harlem where all of the legendary artists and musical musicians and people. And he did a documentary to make sure people remember the Summer of Soul in Harlem. And he won an Oscar for that documentary. Shout out to Questlove. But then one thing that wasn't televised was our brother Samuel Jackson. And it just shocked me, Dr. Ava, after grossing $27 billion worldwide in all of his films and then appeared in 150 movies, he finally got an Oscar. But it was an honorary Oscar awarded to him by his brother, Denzel Washington. I just want to shout out the good things of our brother Samuel Jackson. Finally, after 150 movies, I was like, good God. That was just very interesting to see. With that, you know, we want to go ahead and get.
Go ahead.
Yes, that's a lot. And he's been out there.
I knew he's been in a lot, but I didn't know it was that many. Wow.
Yes, and I looked that up, and I was like, good gracious, Samuel Jackson, there's a lot of movies that you go back and you see, oh, he was in that movie, or he was in that movie, because I think he's 73 years old, and so that's something all the way. And as we're going to get into later tonight, please go ahead and get prepared for RamadanPrayerLine.com. Go to RamadanPrayerLine.com for our morning Ramadan sessions in the morning at 5 a.m., and this Sunday we're scheduled to hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at 5 a.m. on this Sunday.
Eastern.
But we always want to follow the national headquarters, because we know in the Islamic world, everybody's trying to sight that moon, sight and want to be the first. And the thing is, let's just complete the fast, do our readings, make our prayers, and we don't have to run out there and say, I saw first. I saw it over there with my telescope over the left corner. It's okay. Just breathe. Let's just get through the fast and have a joyous spirit for this beautiful, blessed month of Ramadan. So there's a lot, as we already know, Dr. Ava, that is going on in the news. The anti-lynching bill was passed. Folks was at the White House for that this past week, and we'll see how that goes and how that works. And our sister Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, you know, we're looking, by the time we talk next week, there would have been a decision or a confirmation or something going on. So women across the country, black women, are standing up and still speaking on our sister and doing phone bites and calling the senators around this issue. So as you already know, there's a lot going on, and we already know there was some serious distractions going on this weekend that may have caught us off guard about what we supposed to be focused on, but Ramadan will get us all back in line. So back to you, Dr. Ava.
Yes, sir. And we'll talk about that this evening, too. I'm sure everybody's going to want to weigh in, guests, callers, everybody, and that's fine. I want to do something right now. Let me see if this works. Now, why did I just play a great applause? I have breaking news. The Savior's Day gift has been extended through the end of April.
Wow.
So if you were not able to indulge in getting those super blessings, now that we are going into Ramadan, you did not make your goal, beloved, and when I say your goal, I'm talking about the entire Black nation. I'm not talking about the registered body alone. I'm talking about 40 to 60 million of us. This man is the quintessence of God's love and favor on us. If you don't
Come
see
on.
It now, you'll never see it. But
That's
if
right.
you want to be in that number when the saints go marching in, then your
right.
time has been extended. Please don't take this the wrong way. Take it the right way when we say
That's
the
right.
Savior's Day gift has been extended, that it is a favor on us. So just wanted to make that announcement. Now I can turn the sound
big
on my loud computer. You know, Brother Terrence, you're always going to get the breaking news on LOV.
We got to get it.
Places.
Come on now. And I didn't even know. And let people know, Dr. Ava, I didn't even know that you were going to make an announcement. And my spirit started with that about Savior's Day gift. I had no clue that you were going to say that. I was just excited about what happened, what happened Sunday in the Mid-Atlantic and our gold and just being happy about it. But now we get a chance to show more love. Show your love. Show your
yes.
love, Steve Harvey would say.
And I'm glad you're saying that. I'm glad you're saying that because, brothers and sisters, that was not scripted. That came from Brother Terrence's heart and spirit. What he shared with us, and I didn't know at the top of the program I was going to be making that announcement either. So all praise is due to Allah. And I'm so
That's
glad
right.
the sound effect went well. I didn't want to get caught up in some commercial or something because I'm technically challenged, as we all know. But, okay, all is well. All is well in the kingdom of heaven. And we're now going to hear from our beloved sister, the great attorney, Pamela Muhammad, who's been blazing on Tuesday night with
That's right.
A Time for Justice. Her program it's absolutely phenomenal. And sooner or later, people are going to wake up to the beauty of this program and how enlightening it is. And she and two of our three beautiful other sisters were on, educators, just incredible, to talk about protecting the most precious gift we have, which is our children. In this educational system, as we get up to move to get out of Satan's world. In the meantime, we have to protect our children because the majority of them are in America's school system. And we got to hurry
That's right.
and get them out of there as quickly as possible. But in the meantime, we need to get involved. And let me just stop running my mouth and bring on Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava and Brother Terrence. And all praises are due to Allah. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your comments about A Time for Justice. We thank you so much for, helping us and being a part of just promoting the program, Sister Ava, on the Elevated Places Network. You know, we love you, and I just can't say enough. As you were saying, yes, ma'am, as you were saying, we did really enjoy the program on Tuesday with the experts, the educators, the social workers, the teachers, the researchers who are actually boots on the ground in these educational settings, because we wanted to talk about the trauma, and we wanted to, in terms of what can we do, because we were looking at solutions, and so we wanted to know what some of the problems were, what works. They talked about how the decision-making and the perceptions that aren't oftentimes coming from Black people, because, again, these are institutions controlled outside of our community, it really does make a difference on we have to be hands-on and we have to take responsibility. So that's, you know, pretty much a recap of what we talked about. We talked about some of the disciplinary issues, some of the academic issues. You know, we just talked about just the meanness and the insensitivity and the lack of care when it comes to educating Black youth to be leaders, and that's why we have our own independent educational systems in many cities. But, you know, as you say, many of our children are in America's educational setting. So, yes, ma'am. So that was a great discussion, and I encourage the listeners to go back and listen. Yes, ma'am. Praises be to Allah. And Sister Ava, I just wanted to bring up this point today. I think it goes in line with the theme of protecting Black children. And there was an article in the New York Times, and this article was entitled, "This Rap Song Helped Sentence a 17-Year-Old to Prison for Life." Now, this is March 30th, 2022. And so as we're looking at the brilliance and the creativeness of our brothers, like Brother Terrence said, with our music, and we love our music, but we also are seeing that, you know, there's a use of rap lyrics in criminal investigations and trials. They're using rap lyrics as evidence, and prosecutors are allowed to create these narratives about defendants. And these are amateur rappers. You know, these are children. The study was, you know, this particular article talked about a 15-year-old and how he had received life in prison, you know, because they looked at his writing, his creative writing, and using or misusing the laws of evidence, these prosecutors are actually using these lyrics in trials really to really fraudulently create character traits and actually, you know, untrue writings and poetry, which is a lot of time what rap is. But, you know, there's a widespread practice in using this now to make nexus to crimes when there's no other evidence that links these young people to these crimes. And I thought it was a fascinating article because I've actually seen that done back in the 90s. Yeah. And now they're saying that it's getting even more, you know, this is more of a widespread, it's a growing practice. And, you know, Brother Terrence, as you and I know, I mean, Sister Ava, I'm sure you as well, but, you know, a lot of young men in the neighborhood want to, you know, everybody wants to rap. And a lot of times this is just fairy tales, fictionalized stories and representations. But, you know, they were saying how, you know, there's just they create narrative. There's little evidence to linking these young people to these crimes, and it's just contributing to stereotypes. And this is even when presenting rap lyrics as a genre, this is important because they're saying even jurors, and they've done studies, that just the labeling of music as rap is inducing jurors to make negative evaluations, thus creating bias. You know, and as you know, Sister Ava, there are rules of evidence which things should not be allowed into criminal trials because they're not reliable. It's made up, but it's highly prejudicial, And but they're using this evidence. These judges are coming up with some term they call nexus to the conduct, and they're allowing this evidence in, and they even have a term for it. They're calling it, one legal scholar, they call it racialized character evidence, and they say it details a personal trait that prosecutors can use in an insidious way, playing upon racial stereotypes to imply guilt. And that was a quote from a Jasmine Rose out of Boston University. So, I mean, this is a real study. There's a book entitled, that book is entitled Rap on Trial, and it was written in 2016 by someone by the name of Andrea Dennis, who's a University of Georgia law professor, and another person. And they've studied over 500 cases on this. So, like I say, the practice is becoming more prevalent, and where these prosecutors are using these young amateur children, you know, lyrics and diaries and whatever else as to falsely criminalize them and target them, you know, and they're otherwise innocent people. So I really wanted to just put that out there. I thought it was important since it was an article that is, like I say, a March 30th, 2022 article about our youth. So that's what I wanted to just present tonight. Thank you so much for listening. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Yeah,
and
very,
Dr.
very. Yes, sir.
I wanted to add to that. That is very deep, and I don't think people – and it's very interesting. It's like another reality. Like, I didn't know that you were going to be talking about Savior's Day, and Sister Pamela didn't even know that I was looking at my brother, my son was Until Freedom, who is an artist that spent time in jail, but for something he didn't even – that's a whole nother conversation. But the thing is, he was showing a video of young brothers with guns and Glocks, you know, and just, you know, rapping and talking about all this. And he was like, yo, really, you need to be, you know, like, we need, the OGs need to talk to these young boys about what they're doing, because they are making a case. Even if they don't do anything, these are things that they can do to lock you up. And they're taking the lyrics of videos, I mean, the lyrics from songs. They're taking video footages. And even when young people now are doing an Instagram, I got this money, got this, they're stacking up cases against these young people. And I was on panels.
Right.
There's a group called the Gangs Coalition out of New York. They are trying to erase the gang database of New York City. And the gang database, it was like 99% of the gang database are people of color. And you can be on the gang database and not have committed a crime or been suspect of a crime, but you can be put on the gang database that now sets you into a racial profiling, which is now can actually get you into a whole nother scenario and a whole nother situation. And that was a history in the 90s called the hip-hop police that was doing these stops and patrollings and, you know, pulling over tour bus and being showing up at shows and different things. But they weren't doing that for the rock and roll. They weren't doing it for all the other folks that they know was doing this and having all kinds of stuff. But there was no trails. They was not trailing. They was not doing anything. But that is a very serious thing. And we already know, we saw the case of Bobby Smyrna around this issue. But this is a very prevalent, and it's been going on for years. It may now be getting more attention. Getting more attention in the political world, where now, as we know, social engineering has shifted the way that hip-hop is. And to be very clear, as I think we talked on the show last week, that there is a level of artist responsibility, but the other side of that is the artist responsibility is not as big as the industry and the social engineering and the manipulation and the money and all that goes into paying these folks. And so when you want to do something, they may not put it out. They may not produce it. They may not play it. So there's a lot of the industry that's causing, allowing what they want to be out there, because it also helps with the school-to-prison pipeline. It also helps with the prison industrial complex, and it helps to this whole sense of bottom line and the killing of our youth and reinstituting slavery with our brothers of color dealing with this prison industrial complex. So all this is part of that scheme, and this is the new part to lock you up, to jump up charges because you liked a whole lot of money, you like to throw money, you like to show guns, you like to talk about you killing, which now gets you all of these life sentences, and the charges that you would get or will be ridiculous.
Well, you know, there's a U.S. policy in effect, and it has been in effect for decades, but it has intensified as they come to an end, and that is the depopulation agenda. And this is why we don't want to get fixated on a virus or fixated on one thing or another, when everything in this sphere under Satan's control, the aim is to kill black people, beginning with the black male. And what better way? There's two favored instruments of our death. You know, to kill the black man outright from infancy all the way as for as many years as he survives. So they will lock up a Bill Cosby and not give it a thought. They will kill a young black male in the womb, and now they're seeking to sterilize the black female. Now, that's been going on for decades, but this vaccine has taken this to a new level. And if you remember in The Godfather, Sollozzo complained and said he didn't like murder. He didn't like, it's bloody, it's expensive. They'd rather not do that. See, there. If you study the, if you look at the study that was done in 1942, still available on Google, The American Dilemma, The Problem of the Negro, 1,500-page study of what to do about all of these black people growing in population in the United States after the end of chattel slavery and the end, as the minister said, when there was no more cotton for us to pick. Now what do you do? It was never an intent for black people to be assimilated into white society. And so they discussed the various means of getting rid of us. One was outright massacre. That was voted down. The second one was deportation. That was voted down. They agreed upon sterilization. And they have been doing that through the food, through outright birth control methods, and now this mRNA vaccine. And it's sad that there are black people running around. I'll just say this, you know, Chris Rock is vaccinated and he promotes the vaccine. Okay, but
that's
you have
right.
A lot of people saying, oh, I got vaccinated, I'm all right. Just give it a couple of years.
Come on.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, he said, the white man will give you anything that won't kill you outright.
That's right.
So as long as you can survive 15 or 20 minutes, he's going to give it to you. But this thing is working on a cellular level, on a molecular level, and smaller. Nanoparticles is what we're dealing with now. And so they're going to work their way through the systems. And I just, God help you if you took that vaccine, okay, because a lot of our young children were subjected and teenagers to this vaccine. Most people in this country that did take it, if you question them, they didn't take it because they believed it worked. They know. We know. Our survival instinct is telling us there's something wrong with this. But you were told you're fired if you don't do it. You can't go to school if you don't do it. You can't travel if you don't do it. You can't play on the team if you don't do it. We're going to destroy your career, and on and on and on. And so most people felt forced and threatened to do it. But what's going to happen is when these children and these teenagers get into their 20s and start trying to produce a family and can't do it, when women, females, young females can't have babies, the males are dying from heart disease, or I forgot the name of that condition. I think it's called myocarditis. But there's the vaccine is killing males at a higher rate than females. So this whole philosophy that's articulated in the Bible, kill the male and spare the female. Why are you sparing the female? So you can rape her, so you can subdue her. And now what you're doing is you're rendering her incapable of reproducing. So that's the goal. The goal is for us to just simply die out. And we better start taking this seriously. So, like you said, Brother Terrence, we didn't plan this to go this route, but this discussion is right on time.
And let me hit one more thing that is very significant, that is very, very, it hit hard. I think it was an older interview, but I was watching on social media Angie Martinez, no big name in New York. She was interviewing Meek Mills, and Meek Mills was talking about staying out of the criminal justice complex. And he's like, why am I – and he's been talking about this later, and he's immature. He said, why would I want to go back in the world and I'm making this kind of money and getting involved in that? I ain't trying to get in that element. You know, I'm good living the life, taking care of his family. He ain't trying to live that. He said he talked to some of the OGs when he was in the penitentiary. I've been in the penitentiary. And he talked about some of them got no less than 20, 40, 60 years. They ain't never coming out. But he had a mindset that he was coming out. And he came out. But one of the things that he said and he was talking about, which I didn't even know, there was a question asked. And he said, how did Kevin Hart get to come? He said Kevin Hart didn't get, like, into a waiting room to see you. Kevin Hart got into the general population to be around you. And, you know, Meek Mill was like, well, he's Kevin Hart. Like, he's a celebrity. He's a Kevin Hart. But then here's the part that gets me. He said, but that's not unusual. He said a lot of people come into the prison. He said sometimes high school or it was either high school or college students come and they'll be looking in your cell like, oh, look at him. Like they were animals, like they come into the zoo to look at animals. And I'm like, I'm listening to him. He's like, this is a practice, like, they have people that come through the prisons to be looking inmates or studying them. And like you said, like they're animals, like they're in a cage. And I'm like, what does that do to a psyche of a person when people are coming to study and look at you caged in? And I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
But until you said, I never knew they had tours in prison to go look at folks locked up.
Oh, there's no end. What are we taught? We can't fathom the depths of Satan. And I thank Allah, my daughter, Sherelle, took it upon herself to organize and form a juvenile justice advocacy group on Howard University's
right.
campus. She just talked to me right before this program started tonight. She and her classmates that she got to become part of it just left the detention center because they go there to inspire the young people and to talk to them
right.
about the reality that you can come up out of this. You got misled, okay?
Right.
And you can come up out of this. And I'm just going to say, I don't think I mentioned it last week, she did receive a social justice award. I'll have
That's
her come
right.
on another time to talk about it. for her work, not only in the Juvenile Justice Clinic, but also in being one of the leaders of the Blackburn protest late last year. But you're right, Brother Terrence. They study us. They've never stopped doing that. Yes, sir.
All right. All right. We done took up time for our guests, but it's fire on this show.
Salaam
alaikum. Yes, there you go, Laysalam.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we hear you.
That was scary. I said, are we going too strong? Or
yeah. I don't know. That's why I said we take away from our guests, but I said it's strong. It's a lot of heat on this show tonight.
That's right.
Well, it's about to get hotter, I got to tell you. So y'all better
put on your jackets,
your heat jackets to protect you, because it's about to really get hot. But on a spiritual level, we know, of course, as was said earlier, that we are coming upon Ramadan. It actually starts tentatively on the sighting on the evening of April 2nd, which will be Saturday evening, with the first day of fasting to begin on the 3rd of April. And as you alluded to earlier, Brother Terrence, about everybody rushing to see, but the month does officially start with the sighting of the new crescent moon. And, of course, Muslims fast from food and drink and refrain from quarreling and other things from sunup to sundown for 30 days during this blessed month. But we are so happy that tonight, Brother Student Minister Dimitri Muhammad, out of Memphis, Tennessee, one of our great NOI researchers, has put together Ramadan 2022 Quranic Reading Journal and Historical Digest. And so, you know, nothing's more inspiring and uplifting than to engage in something like this with others who believe what you believe, and then to have those among us who take the time and make the effort to really study the practice of Islam and the way of life of Islam, and then can help all of us get an even deeper understanding. And so without any further delay, I want to bring to the microphone Brother Student Minister Dimitri Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Dimitri.
Wa alaikum salam, Minister Ava. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, beloved, by the grace of Allah. And it's a joy to just be where we are right now. I mean, that, you know, Savior's Day was overwhelming. And now here we are blessed again with another opportunity to draw closer to our God. And we thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to come on again as one of our popular guests on Elevated Places to talk to us tonight and give us your perspective on Ramadan and talk about your Quranic reading journal, you know, that which is going to help us with our reading during these 30 days. And also Historical Digest. So with that, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Well, I am so privileged and honored and overjoyed myself to be with you. I'm out here in these streets trying to multitask. You all were talking about jails and prisons. And we coordinate the Ramadan observance for several institutions here. And we're working hard to try to make sure the brothers are ready.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. All right. So if you can tell us something about the your Quranic reading journal and what inspired you to begin doing these journals for Ramadan?
Well, Minister Ava, we have always thought that it is important during these kinds of special occasions where many of us in the Nation of Islam begin to fellowship and work and have various events with other communities of Muslims, we have often felt that there is a need to, during times like this, to highlight the words and the message and the divine ideas of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in addition to learning and reflecting upon the words of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as you all have been talking about tonight, really makes the Quran alive, real, and relevant as a book of guidance, but also as a book of solutions to the problems that our community faces. And so we have enjoyed reviewing the history of the Nation of Islam during the years that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was physically among us, as well as the years of the rebuilding of the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. During this particular period of time of Ramadan, because it helps us to see the relevance of Ramadan, the relevance of the Holy Quran, the relevance of fasting, framed within a context of freedom, justice, and equality for our people here in America. So we began, I believe, maybe in 2018, because we were going and spending a lot of time in the historical material of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his writings, the Muhammad Speaks, the Pittsburgh Courier, and we began to see a lot of profound words that he had written and spoken, as well as how even prior to 1975, contrary to popular belief, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was welcomed and beloved by many in the international Muslim community. There is a false narrative that it was people like Minister Malcolm X and Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad who were making inroads into uniting with the Muslim world. But we've been able to document that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was highly regarded by persons like the president of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, Muslim groups throughout the Islamic world, and that his work was lauded. So this journal, in as much as being a place for the believer to be able to not only read the Quran, but to write their reflections, their thoughts, to really study and have a deeper engagement with Allah's word, it also helps us to see that when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan guided us and instructed us to begin to fast with the Muslim world, he was in lockstep following behind his teacher, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam in truth have made the Holy Quran popular, not just among black people in America, but among America, period. Again, prison intersection. There was a period of time when religious texts and religious practices were not even permitted in America's penal system. And legal scholars, as you well know, Minister Ava, have long acknowledged that it was the litigation of the so-called black Muslim inmates that through their litigation they were able to get the Holy Quran to be permitted into jails and prisons. But in so doing, they won and they secured religious rights for all incarcerated persons, even those who were not Muslim. They owe a debt of gratitude to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who himself was incarcerated. The President of the United States, through executive action, arrested and imprisoned the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was not only just charged with so-called draft evasion, but was charged with the same thing they charged Jesus with, which was sedition. So this history, as we are taught, which best rewards our research, coupled with the study of the Holy Quran, I think is a real powerful exercise for those of us in the nation as well as outside the nation to go through during the holy month of Ramadan.
Oh, praises due to Allah. Now, how can we obtain, and I'll ask you this again a little later, how can we obtain the Quranic Reading Journal?
It's available still. We still have it available. A lot of people have ordered already, but it's just through our website, researchminister.com. Researchminister.com. We were up to about 2 in the morning shipping off copies last night because, you know, believers are really trying to have it as a companion to their
studies
on day one. So to anybody that's listening that is ordered, you know, we're working hard. We'll be up again late tonight shipping off orders. And we really do appreciate the support of the believing community for this project.
Yes, sir. And it's just a beautiful, wonderful tool on so many levels to have. So I would just encourage everyone. I mean, we're starting the sighting of the moon is expected Saturday night and the fast to begin on Sunday. But regardless, just go ahead and order it. And then when you get it, you can be able to start when you do get it. As Brother's saying, you'll get it as quickly as possible. And, of course, we're excited because it's become another beautiful tradition and the immeasurable value of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And again, for more than 10 years, we've been blessed with the morning prayer call. And literally thousands of Muslims call in from around the world. And we'll give those numbers and give where you can find those numbers posted. They should be on NOI.org. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be the keynote speaker on Sunday, the 3rd of April, on the Ramadan prayer line. And that's 5 a.m. Eastern time. Eastern time. That means 4 a.m. Central time. And so we are very excited that we're being blessed right after Savior's Day to hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. All right. So with that, if the panelists don't have any questions or comments, and I was going to go to the phones.
Yeah, I did, Dr. Ava, because, you know, Brother Dimitri, you know, I don't know, maybe he's in a mental state, you know, right now. He sounds very relaxed. I want to dig in him a little bit because, you know, this is, you know, the research team on the student minister. I don't know if we hit his topic yet for him to drop something. But I wanted him to talk because you have the journal, but really let people know, I guess, one, is kind of give the real scope and the benefit of Ramadan, and what are some of the tips and things that we can do to start preparing for Ramadan as this journal helps us to do? Because one of the things we know in the Ramadan prayer line is that, you know, we have Brother Akbar comes on, and Brother Akbar always gives these little jewels about Sahura or, you know, drinking water. You know, he always give you the little tidbits. So I know that in writing this journal, putting this journal, there's some tidbits that you're just not dropping on us right now. We need to get some jewels dropped on us about Ramadan. We're going into this, brother student minister from Memphis down south. So I need you to give us a little bit more because I want people to get the journal, but I want them to get the fullness of, you know, this experience of Ramadan, as I know my 45 are doing this Ramadan readiness, and they have an event every night. I just wanted you to kind of go deeper into this as we're entering that, so people that may not be registered members of the nation on this call that are listening, because this is a global show, you know, can you expound on that?
Well, Brother Terrence, since you insist, you know, I think
yes,
that this is, you know, a really wonderful, wonderful occasion, and I can't let Minister Ava's acknowledgement of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's presence once again on day one of the Ramadan prayer line go by either, because, you know, this year's Ramadan is extraordinarily significant. Specifically, I don't ever remember that there was a time when Ramadan, which is the holiest and highest spiritual season for Muslims around the world, came together at the same period of time as Easter, which is the high spiritual time of Christians. And so in April of this year, you have both Easter and you also have Ramadan. So you have Jesus and Muhammad coming together during this year's Ramadan. So in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, especially during the rebuilding of the Nation of Islam, we know that the minister has been such a wonderful bridge builder between our Christian family and those of us who are Muslim, that this year's Ramadan and being able to hear from the minister day one of Ramadan is all that more special and important. Add to that the fact that, you know, we have grown now to see our beloved minister in the divine light of Scripture as more than just a man who rebuilt the nation. But we now know that his capacity for rebuilding the nation, his capacity for rebuilding the psyche of the black man and the black woman, his capacity for being a restorer and an uplifter are all characteristic features and flow from his divine anointing. So much so that as he talked to us during the Swan Song and he talked to us previously in Savior's Day 2020, we now see the minister as a man who has followed so closely in the footsteps of Jesus that he's now a Messiah among us. So to be able to hear from the Messiah in our midst on the first day of Ramadan, since the Quran identifies Jesus as a Muslim, you know, then we see the coming together of these great two spiritual traditions that are really, in terms of statistics, are number one and number two in the black community. Fact about it, a Jewish apologist by the name of Daniel Pipes, he wrote an article about 20 years ago called How Elijah Muhammad Won, claiming that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, contrary to popular belief, was victorious against his opponent. But in that article, he talked about how the second most populous religion in Black America is Islam, and that at that time, statistically, Islam was poised to become the number one religion in Black America by, I believe he said, by the year 2050. I had to go back and look to be specific. But what's powerful about Ramadan and Easter coming to me is that, as you all were talking about all of the various issues and problems that our community is suffering from, the minister has always urged those of us who are in the church and in the mosque to come out of the church, to come out of the mosque, and into the highways and byways and begin to take the good that we have been taught to minister and to uplift our people.
Yes.
And if you think about Jesus's famous words to his disciples, you know, when the disciples, you know, Minister Ava, the disciples, you know, they a disciple is a particular kind of student, right? And he may be more analogous to an apprentice because, you know, they are students of teachers who never have any intention on following what the teacher has taught them or carrying what he has said into practice. But an apprentice literally is a student for the purpose of being able to do as the teacher does. So when some of the disciples saw Jesus casting out demons, at a certain point, they said, well, we want to see if we now can do like the master has taught us, and we're going to try to cast out some demons. And so they had a certain modicum of success, but at a certain point, they encountered some demons that would not obey them. They encountered some demons that did not recognize that they were, that they had the same authority that Jesus had. And so then Jesus finally tells them when they went back to him and they inquired as to what they were doing wrong. He said, well, there are certain demons that can only be cast out through fasting and prayer. So the use of fasting as a tool, Minister Abel was talking about the vaccine and talking about the efforts to depopulate Black, brown, red, and yellow people through water, through food. Dr. Wesley did a magnificent report called Murder by Zip Code, showing how, depending upon where you live, you have access to only a certain kind of food. And in Black and in poor communities, you know, they call them food deserts because
everything
in those communities is either comes out of a box, a bag, or a can, meaning that it's processed, and it's processed and it's packaged to death, you see. So being able to take Ramadan as a teachable moment even to begin to help our people see the value of fasting. You know, one of the things I encourage brothers to do who are incarcerated, man, is learn how to fast because you don't have access to the best food. So your body will accumulate toxins. But if you can learn how to fast, you can lessen the accumulation of toxins and poison ingredients that may be in food that you have to eat because of the circumstance that you're in. So that's on the physical side. But on the spiritual side, we understand that learning to master the forces within self. You know, everybody's talking about what happened with Will Smith and Chris Rock, and it certainly has, you know, kind of divided, you know, the general public, and people say it. Some people say he was right. Some people say he was wrong. But we know from a community standpoint, we have so many of our people who react due to their inability to control their emotions, you see. So fasting now becomes a tool that gives us an ability to be more in control over our emotions. Will Smith was reacting, but he just had his hand. I talk with young people every day who have reacted emotionally, but they were using guns. They were using knives. They were using other implements of violence, you see. So this is, I believe, a powerful occasion for us Christians and Muslims to think about the practical application of our faith to solve the problems of our community, because otherwise it's just an empty religious ritual. And I think the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has demonstrated to us how to make faith, how to make religion, how to make spirituality real, so that we are not just these religious folk who during a certain month of the year become sanctimonious and not folk who use their belief in God to motivate and inspire them to get involved in changing the reality under which our people live. So the minister christening, if you will, Ramadan for us is extraordinarily significant, because following his example, we're able to make not only our Ramadan fasting more powerful for us, but if we follow the minister's example, we will be able to make Ramadan something that our people get something out of.
And you just was going to leave all that in your drawer and drop that on it. I mean, you know, we would just go not know about Jesus and Muhammad in the same month and just all this other good jewel that you just laid out, but that's okay.
Well, I came on multitasking.
That's your specialty,
brother, so I apologize. Brother.
All praises due to Allah. Yes, the... I'm so glad Brother Dimitri laid that out for us, that, and I understand this happens like every 10 years, it's like a decade between this coming together of the major religions with Ramadan, Easter, and Passover all being in the same month. So you have the Passover starts on April the 15th, that's interesting. the Catholic and Protestant Easter is April 17th, and the Orthodox Easter on April 24th. But I love, thank you for drawing our attention to that, and then also, biggest of all, as you always bring, as you did the last time you were here, discussing Dr. King, the practical application and a way of life. Because remember, Islam is not a religion. It is a way of life. Allah said in the Holy Quran, I gave you Islam as a religion, meaning he's revealing it through what was dominating the people at the time of the revelation of the Holy Quran, was religion, false religion. You know, the Quran was revealed to discriminate, to discern between truth and falsehood. And, you know, I love what you're saying, Brother Dimitri, about not falling into the trap of being ritualistic. And then just staying among ourselves. We know that every week in the Final Call newspaper, we highlight the fruit of Islam going out into the community. And as we know, Minister Farrakhan is an activist. He's not someone that just stays in a pulpit. In fact,
that's right,
he's more out than he is in. And
one
of
right.
his names, you know, titles is The Traveler. And this is
Come
one
on.
Of
right.
the traits of one who is called Messiah. When you look into the meaning of Messiah, that's one of the characteristics and traits of that servant, is he moves around. And as he said in the Criterion, when he said, I can say that I have been faithful, I have expanded the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He's taken these teachings around the entire world. And you cannot pull up any president of the United States, which is supposed to be the most powerful position in the world, nor can you name any pope or any monarch or any head of state who has clocked the miles of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And, unlike U.S. presidents and monarchs and leaders who they'll come somewhere and they'll get off the plane and maybe meet a few dignitaries, have dinner or sit at some conference, and get right back on Air Force One or whatever jet they came in on and go back where they came from. The minister's the only one that comes in and moves among the people.
Come on.
Everywhere he
goes.
That's
right.
He doesn't just pop in for photo ops. He
That's
comes
right.
there and he talks to the high and the low. And
That's right.
As Brother Dimitri said, this man is, he is fulfilling all of the traits and characteristics assigned to Jesus in what they call the New Testament. That wasn't the New Testament. The New Testament is being formed now.
Come on.
But I,
That's
I
right,
really,
man.
Thank you, Brother Terrence, for tapping
That's right.
on, Brother. He's a fountain.
I was like, I don't know where we're going to have all this scholarship on the phone. And then it's so rich, as I think, because what you just said is,
right. Yeah.
Y'all even captured, because as y'all speaking, when he was like, Muhammad and Jesus in this month of Ramadan, and I'm looking at, we just had a swan
That's
song,
fantastic.
And Muhammad and Jesus, if you listen to me, are in this month. and the Savior's then got to spend it in this month. And then you want to say, talk about how he goes amongst the scholars and the masses of the people. And it just is very, very significant how y'all just laid it out. Because if for those that are looking for the resurrection and the light, well, you're looking at him. And he was at the swan song. And if you go back and listen, he'll tell you who he
Amen.
Is. And if you're looking for the Ramadan, the purification, he talked about that before Ramadan even came, about what we need to do. And I'm just saying, we looking at what has been revealed, because we got revelation at Savior's Day. So this is the time of the revealing of the Word of God, and that man is going to start revealing, because every time he speaks is a revelation from God himself. He doesn't
That's
speak
right.
idle words.
Right.
And like you said, Sister Ava, he don't just come out, hey, how y'all doing? Thank you, see you. Thank y'all for coming out. God bless. All right, good night. Every time he opens his mouth, whether you are talking to him one-on-one, whether you come up, he always allow you can see his mind thinking, and he drops something on you that's jewel that you will carry for the rest of your life. Because I know I got some that I carry.
Yeah.
And so when you all say that, we are looking at the manifest of Jesus. We are looking at the manifestation of Muhammad. So I don't know what y'all done set April up to be, but this may be a holy month, not just for Ramadan. I don't know. That's just me talking. But y'all, great scholarship
powerful.
On here. Y'all bless your elevated places. I don't know what y'all understand. I'm happy.
All praise is due to Allah. It's a beautiful occasion to see, the minister and be able to see him. It's such a blessing to be able to see him in the divine light of scripture and prophecy. That's just a blessing, because as he said, in the swan song, he said, if you can't see me, in the light of scripture, then you don't really know me. And that's so important. I was having a conversation earlier with student minister Ilya Rashad, and I was really just we were talking about some different things, and you know, I was reflecting upon how in most people's analysis of the minister, the nation, or even the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they always omit and never give consideration to the spiritual being the cause for the nation's success, effectiveness, and the just the power of our history. And, you know, it made me to think about how Minister Ava, you know, we live in an America today where we have to respect how any specific individual self-identifies themselves. So if you're a man, but you say you were born a woman, we have to, by law, you know, acknowledge that that's how you self-identify, you know. But it's curious to me that when a black man stands up and identifies himself as God's messenger, as an anointed servant from God, when you talk about him, when you write about him, when you think about, you know, what he's doing in his history, you don't even respect how he identifies himself. So the fact that most analysis of the minister, of the messenger, of the nation leaves out the fact that Elijah Muhammad said he was God's messenger. If he's God's messenger, then we have to judge him by the standard of the messengers that came before him. We can't look at the nation as some secular political group that, you know, is the result or fruit of political calculations and political intrigue and plots and subplots and all of this kind of thing. This is a community that is the result of the spiritual and the divine presence of Allah. So the minister being able to see him and identify him, as you said, Brother Terrence, as really an embodiment and a representative of the union of Jesus and Muhammad, the best of what the black church produced in black America, the best of what the black mosque has produced in black America, culminating in a human being. It's really almost like this month of April, you know, symbolizes who the minister has been and who he is, bringing our people together, those who identify as Christians, those who identify as Muslims, to show that we are one people. We don't have to be divided. We don't have to be at odds with each other because of our religious beliefs. He has not only preached that, God has guided him to the point now where he literally embodies that. He is the embodiment of Jesus and Muhammad and our men.
Ooh. Oh, praise Jesus. Yes, Lord.
All right.
We are going
to move.
Oh my God, yeah. Let's take a few calls and open up the lines and the discussion to wherever our callers and the panel members want to take our discussion now that we've been fed so beautifully. Brother Daryl, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, family. Happy Savior's Day to everybody. How are you doing, Sister Dr. Ava?
Oh, happy Savior's Day.
Yes, I was just listening to what Brother Terrence and everybody has been saying about when he was saying they was targeting our youth and they're getting themselves criminalized through rapping and video where they was bringing tourists into the prisons to look at our people like they're in cages. I experienced that back over 40 years ago when I had a traffic violation. I forgot to pay it, and at that time I was working at Chrysler, and I was forgot to pay the ticket, and I ended up having to turn myself in, and they tried to give me 30 days, and I told them, well, I work for Chrysler, and he said, well, why didn't you tell me? I said, you didn't give me a chance, so I did the weekend. And I had to go in on a Friday after I got off work. When I went there, the bear witness to what Brother Terrence said. They had a group of children. I never seen nothing like this. So it ain't like it just started and brought them into the jail and touring the jail and showing the young white boys this is what happens when you do something wrong. And I'm in here for a traffic ticket. So this thing is real. This is what I've been doing all along. And back to the Grammys, you getting the history of what happened back then during the movie industry with John Wayne, where this Indian girl was protesting about with John Wayne and them in the movie industry making these movies about the Indians, and she said she didn't like how they was portraying them. When would you stop it? And he came out of the audience, John Wayne. Now, this is supposed to be movie star. And attacked this 27-year-old Native Indian, and they had to restrain him. And he still got his grant. So this is stuff that we don't even know is hidden that been going on all along. It ain't just what Will Smith started. Now they're hollering about, is it going to be now people going around slapping people? You know, it's just outrageous is what's going on. But this thing is serious about what's happening, and they just did another vaccination shot, but these were two white boys, and they died in their sleep. So they are now bear witness to what the nation is saying, that they are telling the courts to please don't let this information get out for 75 years. But the blessing is, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan warned us way ahead of time. So we better wake up and smell the coffee. I love you all. Assalamu alaikum. Happy Savior's Day.
Wa alaikum salam. Happy Savior's Day.
Wow, very insightful. All right. We're going to go to the Carolinas, and we're going to talk to our sister, or hear from our sister, both, Sister Darcelle, who has a comment.
Oh,
assalamualaikum,
yes. Well,
Sister Darcelle.
Alaikum salam, and assalamualaikum to the panel. And I've been studying, going back for architecture and sustainability. So that's how I've been spending most of my time. So I did want to get in last week to make a comment about, I said, I'm all the way with KBJ and how Ketanji Brown Jackson was treated in the hearing rooms, and some of it I thought was just downright disrespect, you know, to ask someone to define what is a woman. That was just, it was beat the pale. And I was just wondering what your opinion, and that's all I wanted to ask about at this time. Thank
well,
you for
I wasn't, maybe the other panelists, now what specifically are you referring to?
I believe she's a senator from Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn, asked Ketanji Brown Jackson if she could define what a woman is.
You're saying this white woman asked the sister if she could define.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
What a woman is. Well, I missed
yes,
that.
Ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I saw that, Sister Minister Ava, and I think it goes in line with what Brother Minister Dimitrik, Student Minister Dimitrik, was saying about people being able to self-identify as to what their sexual orientation or whatever, what they identify even with their gender. Because, you know, as she's saying, I think her response was that this is an issue that's going to be coming before the court as they continue to litigate these issues about what is a woman, is a man who gets a sex change, is he a woman, you know, all of this legal wrangling that they're doing. So that was what they were asking her to ascertain, what her position would be in courts, you know, I think in the Supreme Court if she was appointed. I think that was the context.
So what was her, how did she respond?
Oh, and you know her response, was that she could not answer the question, period, because she may be sitting in a court having to opine that particular issue. And so she refused to answer the question. Mm.
Mm.
And I think the bigger point to how you just lay that out is that they literally, and if somebody made a meme one time, so they were all the different expressions. It was like the black woman's expression. Like, did you, like, you saw the black woman's restraint on so many of the questions that they was coming left and right and left and right and left and right as though she wasn't prepared for what they was going to come with. In other words, she understood the legalities of what was going to be, and she understood the crap there was going to be. And so a lot of people are supporting her because they know that she should have never gone through what she's gone through and the disrespect that was coming to her, the disrespect and the questions. But she handled that with grace. And just by what Sister Pam said, the context is very relevant because that was almost like a setup question. Do you really want to know the answer, or this a answer that I will be held accountable for in this hearing or later down the road that can be used against me because you already have a decision or you already have an answer to that. And if I answer the wrong way that it affects that community, you already know the backlash will come unleashed on social media and in the media.
Mm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you all for that insight. And thank you, Sister Darcelle. Okay. We're going to go to Sister Brenda, and she has a question. So let's open up her line. Sister Brenda, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Place.
Walaikum salam, and walaikum salam to the panel as well. I have a question regarding separation. And I wanted to know, like, I think I asked you this question before, and but it wasn't a sound on. It was, I was given some notes from a sister that works with you. But I was wondering, if a city is unincorporated and it's out of the city limits and there is no structure there as far as political, mayor, or whatever, and there is an opportunity to create one, how should believers proceed? Do we come away from the American system of governance, or do we create our own?
Well, initially, and if I hope I'm being responsive, you described an unincorporated place. Now, is this populated predominantly by black people?
No, it isn't. That's the issue. It's
okay.
The black have probably a 10% ratio, where the whites is like 75%.
Yes, ma'am. Because the premise that we have to start on, it's the same principle. You know, we know that Islam is mathematics, and mathematics is Islam, and so it means starting with the known to approach and ultimately resolve the unknown. And what we do know is the current structure we're in. Which is 50 independent sovereign states that are loosely joined by their interests politically, and it's called the United States of America. And as we've witnessed through this pandemic over the last 2 years, we're seeing the unraveling and disintegration of that union. Now, what has been determined by God is that the descendants of the former slaves are to come out from under these people. And so numbers make a difference. We start, as I think Minister Farrakhan's most recent in-depth conversation or addressing this process might have been to the group entitled In Cobra, who focuses on reparations. And he talked about population, you know, overpopulating areas, and then, of course, zeroing in right now on areas where we have the majority population, because that's where it begins. Once a month on Tuesdays, we sponsor a Zoom meeting on separation. And we were blessed to have the mayor. I don't know if Sister Donna could get on the line. She may be able to explain that in better detail. But there's a new city in Georgia named Stonecrest, and I think we also have Brother Louis Ali might be listening in too and can add something to it in detail. But the mayor of Stonecrest, and he was also featured in the final call, worked with others to take an unincorporated area and go through the process and the paperwork of becoming a town or a city. And so I'm going to take your number down so that we can get your email address and make sure we notify you of how to tune in to the next one. We also send out notices through the National Center, but the 19th of April, we'll have a presentation on the Detroit Mecca Project. And so we can give some insight from people who are actually engaged in this process of how to take populated areas and use the sciences of urban planning and infrastructure to begin to set up a system wherein we can become independent. So I'm not sure if I answered that correctly, but we start with where we are and what we're in. And the reality is, which a lot of people don't understand, is that the United States of America is perfectly designed and configured for separation, because it's not one big nation. And this is why, you know, you go through borders, and every state you go in, you have different laws and rules and regulations. The individual states control their own health, education, welfare. They collect taxes from their state taxes, local taxes from their citizens. And I got a note from Sister Donna that we'll follow up with you, because there's a lot to that process of going from the unincorporated to incorporated area. I will take down your number, Sister Brenda. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I had I got the documents from the city of the voting system, building a mayor system, the revenue department, but I'm like, and my family owns most of the land on the main highway of that area. Mm. So we have on our land a water system that is feeding, that is applying water to the whole community. So I was just thinking, what could we do in regards to that? Because I had been talking to the forester and, neighboring colleges regarding, doing things on the land. What my cousins say, it was engulfed in water at one time. And it was strange what he said to me. He said, He said, Jesus poured the water back. I said, yeah. And he said, yes. Mm. And I said, well, I know he, you know, what he believed in, but I was thinking about Allah, you know, causing that water to receive back. My greatest concern, because it's in Alabama, it's in the KKK area, you know, where they control the
yes,
area.
Ma'am.
And I have been in conferences where they're, you know, they have a connection, what you call the extension, with Auburn University. And they have a heavy, what you say, control of most areas. You know what I'm saying? Even Tuskegee, because I was mm-hmm. in Tuskegee. So I didn't want to take up too much time. I just wanted to
yes,
note
we'll,
that.
We'll stay in touch with you. Yes.
Yes,
yes,
ma'am.
I'm going to give
okay.
Sister Donna your information. That's awesome. Thank you, Sister Brenda.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Awesome. Like
yes, ma'am. Walaikum salam. All right, we're going to move a little quicker. We've got Sister Carol Asadi who has a comment. Sister Carol, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Minister Ava. How are you? I'm so happy to be talking to you online tonight and everybody else, the panel, as well.
All praises due to Allah. We're happy to have you.
Thank you. I want to speak to the incident with Will Smith and Chris Rock. I believe that this was that Will Smith reacted to in response to something that we did not see, which was the unseen. If we think about it, Jada Smith was outspoken against the Academies a couple of years ago. And
that's
she boycotted, she boycotted, and I believe that was the same night that Chris Rock was the MC for that particular one that she boycotted. I'm not sure. Somebody correct
no,
you're
right.
me.
You're right.
But
any no, you're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
So we were dissecting it with Brother Batine today with the group who we study Dianetics and Scientology. We kind of have been doing the swan song, but we kind of broke away and dealt with this to look at it from that point of view. So I said, you know, the minister also said that, remember that Caucasian who wanted to buy him off and said that he was a trendsetter. He sets the trends for the world. And that's what the Academy
mm-hmm.
is. They put movies
mm-hmm.
out when they want something to start the, what, the power of the dog. What's that all about? Cowboys who are homosexuals. Okay? So it's stuff that they want to. So, in essence, and not to take up a whole lot of time, see, he disrespected a black woman. I believe Jada was only there, as we were saying as well, some other people were saying Jada was only there for Will, probably, because she wasn't dressed with her slits and splits. She was quite covered up, and I believe she has a condition called alopecia, which has her hair, you know, I believe I heard someone said this. I don't
yeah,
know for
true.
A fact. I
yeah.
haven't heard her say it.
No, it's true.
But anyway.
Yeah, she spoke of, she
okay.
spoke of it.
See,
mm-hmm.
so Chris Rock, that was an attack. But then later, someone said they had evidence that a Caucasian wrote that particular joke for Chris Rock. So this was a hit,
yes,
a direct hit on Jada from the Academy. And what
yes, ma'am.
What Will did when he heard it, he probably knew there's probably some rumbling going on before he came, you know, to the Academy regarding Jada. So when he slapped Chris Rock, who's the imp, playing the imp with that joke for the Academy, He smacked those trendsetters. Yes. He smacked the trendsetters. That's what he did. That's what I saw. Thank you for letting me share.
Praise be to Allah. I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. I guess this is as good a time as any. I can share some of what I was blessed to speak with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan the next day, getting some guidance on another matter.
All right.
Brace yourself.
Well, he reminded me that he addressed the profound craft of acting during the Swan Song. And, of course, I don't come from Dianetics or Scientology. I come from the study guides. And we were having a discussion about the fact, if you remember, he shared with us, and he has on a couple of occasions, but he shared with all of us during the Swan Song, his teacher correcting him on his play and his having the brother play the homosexual and the sister playing a prostitute, and I think another brother played the pimp, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, spoke to him about the brain and the mind. And, of course, you are what you think you are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when Will got up to accept the award, and as you recall, he was crying. He was sobbing. And he spoke about the pain and suffering of Richard Williams. And here's a black man rearing five black girls. And those of you that saw the film, you saw all that he went through to protect them, to guide them, shepherd them, and faced all kinds of abuse from his own people as well as from Caucasians. Because remember, it was a black woman living across the street that called the so-called, whatever they call their child protective, so-called protective services, on him when he and his wife were really the quintessential black parents, okay? And yet they have to be confronted with and put under the intrusion and microscope of white people. But he said that, you know, Will, when you're an actor and you're a good one, an excellent one like he is, and you travel down into the mind and spirit of another person, you really become that person. And remember, he talked about it. He said, well, I guess I just became the crazy father, you know, protecting my family. And, you know, as you said, and the minister expressed to me his irritation with the quickness of people judging Will Smith. And a lot of comments being made about what he should not have done, when in fact this is his wife.
Right.
And you know, I don't like award shows at all, but my husband was very interested to see whether this Academy awarded Will the Oscar for that role. Because no one came close to him in within the sphere of all of that they do. But in terms of leading role, there's no one that deserved it more than him. So we were in our bedroom with our grandchildren, my little young grandchildren. They had stayed Sunday night. And I was half watching and half not watching, and all of a sudden the sound went out, you know, on the television. So I thought either my husband or one of the children rolled over on the remote control. And I was like, no, they're doing that. They're doing that. That's some delayed, they're silencing Will. And then I see him yelling something. You can tell he's yelling. But to make a long story short, this was an attack on the black woman, on his wife. And I heard someone else say what you just said, Sister Carol. Someone else told me earlier this evening that they read somewhere that Chris was reading a script. You know, comedians have writers. Okay, especially in that realm, because this is also a man, I think I mentioned earlier, he's been vaccinated, he's pro-vaccine, he's pushing the vaccine. He took the job of MC the year that Jada was trying to organize a boycott and had some facetious things to say about her back then. And now here she is with a medical condition. That wasn't a hairstyle that she chose. And for him to draw a comparison with Demi Moore in G.I. Jane, this is a medical condition. And a lot of people observed that they felt that Will, you know, there was tension in the room, okay, because of this history. And tension because Will had, in the mind of Jada, been denied the Oscar previously for another film. And so there was tension there. And to attack or to make mockery of her with a medical condition, and some people said, because I slept that part, that she had that Will tried to tolerate it. He had sort of a strained sort of laugh, but he looked at his wife and saw the pain in his wife. And that was, and as the minister said to me, you know, you can push a person to the point where they do snap. And he said, I don't know if Will realizes it, but he was expressing the pain not only of Richard Williams, but of a people. Mm. Of a people. And, you know, I'll just close with this, that I was interviewed by The Final Call about Judge Brown Jackson's nomination and what she was going through. And they didn't print that part of the interview, but the brother William Muhammad, who wrote it, he asked me what I thought about Cory Booker, Senator Cory Booker, coming to the defense of the judge. And I said, to me, that was a sign of what has to happen. And we're in the middle of that in Study Guide 19, which we're on right now. And that is the proper view by the black man of his woman. And the minister said to the men in that study guide, you will remain disconnected from God until you have a proper view of the woman. And if you can't understand her, you'll never understand Allah, because she is his second self. So whenever you disrespect her, you're disrespecting him, because she is a part of him. And I was reminded, I was glad Cory Booker did that. He should have done that. And Will should have got up in defense of his wife for a man who went there too many times. And people have said, oh, he slapped him. If it was real, he would have punched him. Maybe they don't realize that Will Smith is not some little pansy. Did you see the training he underwent for the Ali role? Have you seen some of the physical roles he has played, if you don't know anything about it? And he had the presence of mind to open-handed hit that man, rather than he probably would have been cuffed and taken out of there if he hit him with his fist, because he'd have knocked him flat on his back. But when you take, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, too much joking is no good.
No good, right.
You know, and so, you know, we could talk about this all night or whatever, but we're not going to do that. We're down. We're under 10 minutes. But thank you, Sister Carol. See what you did. but the minister was very clear with me that, you know, this, he said he didn't think Chris meant any harm. But, and you know, he knows all of them. However,
right. Yep.
he brought out of Will what is to be brought out in this moment, in this hour. Oh, and then lastly, see, look at the sign. You know, remember how Whoopi Goldberg got attacked by the Jews recently?
Right.
For having an opinion, a viewpoint.
Right. Yes,
about
ma'am.
Why Hitler did what he did. See, because they'll pay you money all day long, but you can't have an opinion or view
right.
that they didn't give you. Remember, he talked about that in the criterion.
That's right.
But I understand the board of governors of the academy sat down to discuss taking the award away from Will Smith, and Whoopi Goldberg told them, as Cedric would say, I wish you'd try to take it. And she reminded them of, just to name a few, Roman Polanski, a director, a Hollywood director who 50 years ago was convicted of statutory rape for sex with a 13-year-old girl when he was a grown man then. He left the United States and has been in Europe ever since. Never came back. They gave him an award a few years ago.
Come on.
Well, he's a fugitive from justice. How about
Listen.
Woody Allen marrying his adopted daughter? And his son accused him, the one that's on the news, the anchor, accused him of molesting her while she was a child. He got him an Oscar, several of them, I think. Nobody's taken his away.
At all.
So that's just a lot of food for thought. That's all.
And just one quick point.
Yes, sir.
No, I was just saying one quick point, because I just kind of left the debate alone as I listened, but one of the student minister, Willie from New Orleans, lifted up. He said, if you have read his book, then you understand that there's a part of trigger. You know, he said there's triggers, and everybody need to study what will cause you to trigger somebody else and know and study your own triggers and what would trigger you to
right.
do something. And he also said, take Will and Chris out of the Oscars, out from the fancy state, and put them in a neighborhood near you with drugs, with alcohol, with guns, and all you would have seen is another dead black man. You wouldn't have seen just a slap. And he was just pointing that out, that even what we saw, you know, if you look at the bigger thing and what we have to actually address in our communities, but I like how you laid it out, like, you know, after so much, you know, you're going to have to stand up. So, you know,
well,
it's like you said, it's a lot to discuss. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the minister. What the minister's saying to us is that we're at our limit. You know,
that's right,
I remember
exactly.
when see,
until we correct the role reversal, where the black woman was pushed out to the front to save us as a people because of the crushing of the black man, okay? And so these open assaults on her under the guise of comedy.
That's right.
That's right.
You don't see white men attack their woman like that. You don't see
That's
it.
That's right. That's right.
And because Will stood up and took the point, Jada could sit there like Nefertiti.
That's
and
right.
And maintain her dignity. Then you don't have to run around saying, oh, they're loud, they're boisterous, they act like a man. Well, you got to feed the family and put a roof over everybody's head and do male jobs. Activities are some are testosterone-driven, some are estrogen-driven. When we were in Egypt back in the early 90s, and the minister told my husband and I, while you're over there, go to Mecca and do your Umrah. And he wrote a letter for us. They would not accept the letter at the Saudi embassy, signed by Minister Louis Farrakhan. My husband told them, oh, you will let us into Mecca.
Right. Come on, man.
And he stood up in that Saudi embassy and ran that Quran on them about blocking, impeding men's way from the mosque. Okay?
Come on.
I'm supposed to be the assistant minister. I didn't have to say a word. Woo! So if we're tired of hearing black women talk, then you stand up and talk like Minister Farrakhan.
Come on.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Mm.
But
I said
beautiful,
that
beautiful,
crazy,
beautiful.
But that's the lesson. When Winnie Mandela and those brothers and sisters in South Africa started with those tire necklaces, okay, people will take us seriously when we call one another to task.
Teach.
Woo. That we didn't had enough of this man being as the sister said, an imp. It's more to this than just, see, Craig Melvin on the Today Show, I'm tired of men of color not being able to contain their rage. No, we Allah feels anger and rage, but he directs it. But he doesn't not have it. We're not going to do away with it. That's what white people want us to do. You're not our judge. You don't tell us when to go off. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said a warrior came out of that triple darkness of space. That man didn't have mercy. That's the highest of his 99 attributes. He had to evolve to develop those attributes. But he first had to fight to come into existence. We're going to have to fight. And some of us are going to have to fight each other because some of us have sold out.
That's right.
Too bad, so sad. You go with the enemy. You're not going to lay up among us anymore and sell us out to the enemy. And a lot of our people, oh, he shouldn't have hit him. With Chris and his tickets are selling, fine. Go ahead and go. Pay $1,500 to hear this clown. Enough is enough. And that's not to say you shouldn't control your behavior, but there's a time and a season when you got to let loose and you got to let people know what time it is.
That's right.
Well,
yes, ma'am.
Blue all the time. I got to thank our brother minister, Brother Dimitri Muhammad. I have to thank Sister Rona Muhammad. And go to researchminister.com to get your Quranic reading journal and historical digest. Sister Rona Muhammad, our executive producer, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad,
the host of A Time for Justice, Sister Pamela Muhammad, and all of you who call in and log in each and every Thursday to Elevated Places Network. And please log in to A Time for Justice every Tuesday, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. May Allah bless us all with love and the light of understanding as I leave you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.